You're about to experience the Play Myself Show, where we dig deep into history, trends, and culture. Now, here's your host, Miles.
Go ahead.
There we go. Yo, so I started going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot how muscle heads talk.
What you mean?
Like, I don't know. Like, have you ever been to the gym when like, you're pumping iron or whatever, and then all of a sudden you just hear people talking about what they had for breakfast? Like, they're like, oh, you know, I usually have a piece of chicken for breakfast, or I have eggs, and then I have my protein shake,
uh-huh.
And then I have this, and I have that. And they're, like, comparing what they're eating. And, I mean, it drives me crazy because a lot of times they're like, oh, you're not doing it right. They think they're slick sometimes, too, because they be trying to check the girls out.
Uh-huh.
And then they act like when they be looking in the mirror, right, and they're looking at a girl through the
uh-huh.
mirror.
Uh-huh.
Like, yo, they can see you through that shit.
Like, I feel like you just do your best, though. Like, I feel like if you good at something, you just fucking, that's what you focus on. So, like, that's what it is. Like, that's, you in the arena at that point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, so, like, it's just funny how, like, as you get, like, it, in my opinion.
You in the arena.
How, hold on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, how, you don't got to do that.
Like, it,
yeah.
It's
hold on. Don't. Yeah, don't worry about it. Put some headphones on or something, big dog. Yeah, so, yeah, you in the arena. It's like if somebody comes in the kitchen and you're going to ask them, hey, you don't use sea salt? It's like the same shit, nah?
I mean, yeah, but even so, like, I just think it's funny how that works. And how, like, as I get older, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, was I one of those people that would, like...
That's the ego, though. Everybody's one of those people.
I don't think I was. I wasn't an ego person. Like, I could care less.
Everyone is an ego person.
Nah, that's
in
a lot.
In some shape or form, your ego takes a hold of you. Even if it's, like, the biggest, the worst, you know, whatever thing, is present. So whenever you have, like, extreme confidence, and the ego doesn't have to be a bad thing. So whenever you have extreme confidence in something, even if it's an assumption that it's the ego, it's still that.
I don't think so, because, like, even, like, something that I pride myself in, like, something like basketball, right?
Right.
Or pickleball or whatever I play, right?
Yeah, I forgot to play pickleball.
I do.
Yeah.
Mad fun. But anyways, yeah, so even something like that, like, I always knew that there was somebody better, you know? And so I never really had that big of an ego.
But you feed on the weak, though.
No.
So that's like when every time I see you at work, you're like, I'll beat you in basketball. Like, and you know you could beat me already, but, like, you just make it apparent. And even if you could be joking, it's like, but if I was, like, yeah, hi, and I had, like, almost the same reputation, it would be a let's play. Yeah, like, we play good game together.
So there's a couple of reasons why I do that in the office.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Mm-hmm. So the reason why is because, like, you always would come at me. And I knew that you were joking around, but you would always come at me like, yo, you ain't that good at basketball. You ain't that good. You know, and so then I just started to pick on you. I'm like, all right, well, every time you come in, I'm going to challenge him to a game of basketball. Like, I challenged Sergeant Major Quivy. Big shout out to you, Sergeant Major. But I challenged him and my Sergeant Provost to a game 2-on-1. Now, that's confidence. That has nothing to do with
ego.
That has nothing to do with ego.
You're wild, so.
Nah.
It has everything to do with ego.
No, because at the end of the day, like, I feel like I have enough experience
uh-huh.
that I can probably at least come close to beating them. You know, I never thought that I could actually beat them in a two on one situation. But it for
but
me
will give you the gall to say that if you
because I knew that. They weren't gonna do it because it's like Sergeant Major Quivy doesn't step out of his comfort zone when it comes to stuff like that.
Ooh.
Like he's not gonna play me in a game of basketball because he's like, yo, like nah, he just doesn't play it. So he's like, nah, you know what?
Right,
we could do some like P90X or something, I'll just smoke you. You know what I mean?
Right, I feel you.
But like, it was all in good fun. So it was never like an ego thing. But with you...
But that is an ego thing.
It's not, though, because it was all fun. Like, we were joking around. I knew they weren't going to claim
it. That's where the ego hides in the joke.
No.
But... No. Yes, so that's like saying if I said yes to play you, you would say I was just joking. No, you're going to play and you're going to go hard.
But I know that you're not going to play me in basketball.
What do you mean? But what if I said yes? It's not against the rules for me to play you.
You're not going to. Yeah, it is.
Let me go grab a napkin, bro. Like, yo, you're bugging. That is not against
the rules for me. Hey, Mo, is it true that you used to try to beat people up on the basketball court? I got a comment here from Justin Love Smith, says that you used to try to beat him up on the basketball court.
Yo, Justin Love. Yo, all right. Big shout out to Justin Love, man. Yo, he's a great basketball player. But the thing is I didn't try to beat him up on the basketball court because me and him were competitive.
Right.
And so he played a completely different type of game than I did. Mm-hmm. So if I ever stepped out, because he's such a good defensive player, mm-hmm. So if I ever tried to beat him off the dribble, it was really hard for me to beat him off the dribble out in the perimeter. But he also knew that I was tough inside.
Right.
So like he wouldn't venture to the inside of the game, just like I wouldn't venture to the outside of the game. And that's just how I felt about me and his relationship on court.
So then you resorted to violence?
No, I didn't resort to violence. I didn't try to beat him up on court.
You never had a fight on a basketball court?
I've had an argument on the basketball court, but I've never actually had a physical fight. I've had people say that they wanted to meet me in a parking lot, but they never did.
I don't believe that shit.
They didn't.
No. Oh, you was waiting though?
No. They, because at the end of the game, like we would just hash it out. Like, okay. Yo, like it was never anything serious.
Yeah, that's the game though. And you could tell like that's like the true love of the game sometimes. People go hard and they fight, you know.
Well, you know, people used to get mad at me playing in an adult league because I would come off the bench.
Right.
And that was my choice to come off the bench. But that's where I started to talk shit to people, right, you know? Right, right. And, like, it was never, like, I was never, like, directly talking shit to them. I was saying it just enough where somebody would get upset.
That's what I'm saying. So that's
so what ego. I would do. No, listen, but listen, though, it's not even an ego. It's just to psych them out of their game. And it always worked, you know? Like you've got great players like the Gary Paytons, the Dennis Rodmans. You know, you've got players like Reggie Miller. Right. He knew he wasn't the best defensive player, but he would sit and talk shit to you to get you out of your game.
Yeah.
And that's a lost art. You know, you've got your Kenyon Martins, your Kevin Garnetts that you just don't see in a game today.
Who was the best at that, you think?
The best shit talker?
Yeah, it's like you're out your game.
Larry Legend.
I would say Jordan.
Nah, Larry Legend was probably the best.
Who Larry Legend?
Larry Bird.
Oh, well, I'll call him Larry Legend.
Larry Legend. He's Larry Bird.
You got a nickname for that man?
Yeah.
People are saying Larry some Bird. Guy named Roman.
Roman.
A good shit talker.
Yeah. Who's Rodman probably you're talking about.
Oh, Rodman?
Yeah.
Rodman, okay.
Yeah,
Rodman. Rodman was he was a good shit talker, but for the most part, he was just he was just physical.
Yeah, and he would like touch you uncomfortably, like he'd just make you feel uncomfortable. I would say Jordan. I would say like that's just like a part of being great, right? Like when you got that aspect of the game. I like Reggie Miller shit too, but I would say it's between Jordan and Kobe to me.
But you know, there I just watched. It wasn't like a 30 for 30, but it was like it was just a documentary on another shit talker that a lot of people don't really know a lot about, and that was Tim Duncan.
What?
Tim Duncan talked shit.
I can't see that.
Yeah, nobody can because he's so quiet.
Oh.
But Tim Duncan, he would do it in such a way, he would do it kind of like how I do it, right? he would do it, like, really indirectly.
Sam got no ego.
No, he doesn't have an ego, but, like,
what?
He doesn't. He doesn't. Yeah, look,
I think whenever you, to get to a certain point in life where it's, like, you know, you above the rest, your ego has a lot to do with it. And I think you're looking at the ego like a bad thing. That's like when somebody says consequence, right? A consequence is not always a bad thing.
Okay.
So the ego exists in everyone. That's like a human trait. Everybody has an ego. But now, if you depending on how you use your ego, that's where you find your, you know, your place with it.
Okay. I can see that.
We all have an ego.
Hey, they're asking it. Did Jordan ever talk shit?
Yes.
Yes.
Jordan talked the most shit.
Yo, Jordan talked a lot of shit.
That's whoever's asking that as a troll. Like, listen, did Jordan talk shit the most out of everyone? And it would be
no.
So.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yo, Jordan was not on, and he was. Jordan was very petty.
I think that Gary Payton talked the most shit out of any player ever. Now, the best shit talker was Larry Bird. But as far as, like, somebody who just gets on the court, like, that was, like, his job. That was it. Like, like Gary Payton would come on the court, and he would not stop talking. He would be talking shit to you on the bench. He'd be talking shit to you while he's in the locker room. You know, if they had phones,
shit, then he'll slap, he'll hit you.
Well, yeah, his teammates.
Exactly.
You know,
like, but that's ultimate, you know, fuckery right there.
So
he would bring fear to you.
So we like, we obviously miss, have people that are don't that are interested in this topic. Mm-hmm. Please, if you think Jordan was the best shit talker, please just
press one.
And if you think Larry Bird was better,
press
then
two.
Press two.
And we'll see what we get from there because Jordan was definitely the biggest shit talker. So.
Well, they're asking, what about if you want to vote for anybody else?
So just write the name.
Yeah, write the name.
Yeah, write the
name. I mean, Gary Payton was good, too. There's a lot of great shit talkers.
Yeah, there's a lot of great shit talkers.
In the game.
In the game, yeah. Because I would say Kobe. Right.
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett was really
good. Kevin Garnett was good, but then, yeah, this is a non. Like, write who you want as a good shit talker, but I'm telling you, the way Jordan did it, it was so insane. Like, people didn't respect Larry. They respected Larry Bird, but they didn't respect Gary Payton against Jordan.
So the thing about Jordan, right, and this is where I think you get it confused.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan did talk shit, absolutely. But if you were smart, you didn't talk shit back to him.
Right, yeah.
All right?
Shit, yeah.
And so, like, if you didn't talk shit back to him, eventually he's going to forget about you.
He
will, because he didn't go out there just to talk shit to you. Gary Payton had a chip on his shoulder. He's still talking shit right now.
So is Jordan.
Nah, not really. Not like Gary Payton, bro.
What?
Gary Payton's a better shit talker than Jordan.
Bro, Jordan just played some civilians, and he was like, you know, do you know who I am?
Yeah, because he has a big ego.
Exactly. So he's the biggest shit talker ever.
Yeah, he's got a big ego.
Well, I mean, in basketball, I would say. I think in other sports, there's other
shit talkers. What about Matt Barnes?
Nah. Matt Barnes was...
yeah.
He was a good shit talker, too.
Yeah.
But I think Matt Barnes... I think Matt Barnes was kind of a dirty player,
he's
too.
A dog. Yeah, Matt Barnes was a dirty player. And he was one of those people like Patrick Beverly, like you put in a game.
Oh, my God.
And, like, they have a purpose. But it wasn't like the team needed them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And there's certain players like that.
But the team
Davis was like that on the Pacers.
No, Dale Davis was... I can't agree that he was a shit... He was a big shit talker.
No, I'm not saying sugar, but he was not essential. But he was almost like my man that plays for the Golden State, Green.
Draymond. Yeah,
he's an
enforcer.
You need him.
Yeah, he's an enforcer.
Yeah, but you don't need him.
But that's like Robert Parrish when he played for the Celtics. He was an enforcer. You wouldn't believe it, bro. But like that's why they called him the Chief, because he would go out there and fuck people up.
Yeah,
like,
but didn't I send you a quote yesterday? I sent you a quote yesterday saying Jordan said Patrick Ewing is such a good player, even though he lost all the time. He was always a good sport. And he said that shit yesterday, bro. He said that shit yesterday. So, hey, for you to tell me that shit is like, that's crazy.
Yeah, but every, like somebody like like Tim, like, yeah, all right. No, I'm not gonna, I'm not even gonna say anything because I'm not gonna bring it back to Tim Duncan. But
well, Claude Roche says every team needs a dog.
Yeah, every team needs a dog. That's what I'm saying, and I could appreciate that. I think that's
of course. Thing. Yeah, every team needs a dog, especially nowadays.
And basketball especially, but I also feel like you have certain players that they get better, but they kind of galvanize the team. You know what I mean? And it's that's almost like how Dennis Rodman was. Like, Dennis Rodman was the person that you knew he was going to be at practice no matter what he did last night, and you know he was going to be running fast tonight.
No, that's actually false. Okay. Dennis Rodman, you knew that Dennis Rodman would show up to the game. That was what it was.
He's never going to show up to practice?
No, he missed practices all the time.
I don't know, man. We
have no. That, go. If you ever watched what was that, Jordan? The Last Dance.
Yeah.
They talked. They touched on that.
No, right? They touched on them giving him a break. But as far as missing practice, I think
he missed practice.
I don't know.
And those guys went out to Vegas with him and babysat him. Steve Kerr.
What?
Yeah.
No, bro.
That's definitely true.
You're remembering your own story.
No.
They gave him a couple days off, and he said, yo, I just need to go to Vegas to get this out, and then I'll be back for the game.
Yeah, but you don't remember Steve Kerr and them having to go out with him?
No.
That actually happened, bro. Like, they had to go out with him, and they basically had to babysit him for a night, and... and then when they came back to the hotel, those guys had practice that babysat him, and Dennis Rodman was off the next day.
Man, I don't know about that.
A lot of people would agree with you.
I might have to. Well, a lot of people. I just have to watch that again. You have to give me an episode on that because I don't think that.
That
was the case.
That actually happened, bro.
Mm. Yeah, that's it.
They had to go out. They had to watch him because I remember Steve Kerr specifically talking about this. Okay. And he said, Phil Jackson pulled them aside and said, hey, make sure he doesn't get in any trouble.
Oh, so he had him, like, he's, like, watching
He had undercover? Him watching all, not even undercover. Like, they were there. They were hanging out, but...
Together?
Yeah, they were all hanging out, but then when they came back to the hotel at, like, 5 in the morning, they had to be up at, like, 7 or 8.
Jordan was like, where was you, Steve?
Nah. Jordan was sleep.
Didn't Jordan punch Steve Kerr in the face?
Yes, he did.
What's the wildest Jordan story you ever heard? Like,
I think that could be it as far as, like, the craziest thing he ever did.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Jordan just used to pick on people.
Yeah.
And that was just what he what he did. And I remember he couldn't pick on Horace Grant.
Oh yeah.
Because Horace Grant wouldn't let him do that shit.
He picked on his ass, but he spoke up for himself, but his ass still got picked on. Jordan didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, Horace was getting ready to fight him on a plane.
Yeah. I remember the illest Jordan story I heard hold on, Mike, don't cut, just say
the team fined Rodman more than 32 times for missing a practice.
Yeah.
That's it. You guys might be right.
It's on Last Dance.
So,
thanks, Mike.
With Jordan, I think the biggest shit with him was, I mean, this might be a mythical story, but like, you know, like that flu game,
mm-hmm.
I heard that it was like a food poisoning the night before he ordered pizza, and I think it wasn't an away game, and he still killed and everything, but it was like
I
heard it was like he ordered like a pizza, and when they went to bring it to him, it was like some shit in there because somebody had a big bet on the game.
Yes, somebody, it was the playoffs.
Yeah,
and they didn't want the Bulls to win.
Oh, nobody did.
And so they poisoned them. They said we gotta stop them.
Anyway.
Right. Let's figure this out.
What's the most disrespectful thing you've seen in sports?
The most disrespectful thing.
Well, like when, like I was giving an example. Like I don't know if it was a T.O. when he went in the middle of the cow. It wasn't T.O. It might have been some child was saying he went in the middle of the star and he bowed or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Dash is pretty disrespectful. And then remember in basketball, they used to take out the broom, and the whole team used to grab a broom and sweep.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do shit like that.
Well, man. I mean, so I would say the most disrespectful thing that ever happened in basketball, or not basketball, in sports, period, was the time when, I forget what the guy's name was, Mayorga, boxing.
Yeah.
He was fighting against Sugar Shane Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
And he was smoking a cigarette in front of Sugar Shane. That's the first thing. And it was disrespectful, but that, I mean, that wasn't it. It was that Sugar Shane's wife bent over, and Mayorga grabbed her ass.
Oh, shit.
Like, during the press conference.
Word?
During the press conference. And let me tell you, yo, Sugar Shane Mosley beat the fucking bricks off of
That's crazy.
He beat, but, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, in UFC, remember when Conor McGregor fought the Russian kid? Mendo or whatever his name is. Then he spit on him.
Oh, man.
He knocked him out, so he spit on him and shit.
Yeah.
That shit was funny.
Yo, I've been getting into watching a lot of boxing lately, and not like current boxing, mm-hmm. just like all the old knockouts and shit.
Yeah.
And like we always talk about, like, we always talk about, like, Mike Tyson, how he used to scare people.
Intimidate the fuck out of
people.
Yeah.
But, like,
nobody.
I think the one thing that we always forget to talk about is when you're too old to box anymore, but you still, it's like holding on to a receding hairline.
Mm.
You know, like, my hairline starts at the back of my neck. I don't have one. All right. Mm-hmm. So, like, with mm. boxing, don't. You know when you're getting old.
You don't have
one. I don't have no hair. I don't have no hairline, folks. So. I have to shave my shit. But in boxing,
mm-hmm.
sometimes people get too old to box anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like watching that young boxer have to kind of put you out of your misery.
Mm. Yeah.
In some cases.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, and, like, I know that George Foreman was still fighting at, like, almost 50?
Knock them motherfuckers out, though.
But if you actually watch, his fights
mm-hmm.
from when he got older, bro, he looked like a fucking big-ass toddler in the ring.
Like, George Foreman was a dog.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, he couldn't. He didn't block nothing. He had no head movement, nothing, bro. Like, if you came at him, like, he was, like, swatting it away. Like, it was a... like, you were a fly.
Yeah,
he still hit hard.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, but...
I think he's probably, to this day, probably the hardest, one of the hardest hitters.
Nah, Butterbean.
Butterbean hit harder than George Foreman?
I think Butterbean might hit harder. No, I take that back. Yeah. George Foreman hit hard,
bro. Yeah, bro.
I can't knock him. Butterbean hits hard too, but George Foreman, especially in his prime, yeah. Oh my God.
Nah, yeah, he was a classic. Yo, so let's switch topic real quick.
What about Muhammad Ali?
No, Muhammad Ali don't hit
that hard. He wasn't a hard hitter.
Yeah, he wasn't a hard hitter. Though.
But the hardest hitter obviously was Mike Tyson.
I think George Foreman hit hard. I think Mike Tyson, the way he just come at you with his size and everything, it's just like a crazy person coming at you, and then it's like, by the time you brace yourself, you pop.
Yo, I agree.
Yeah, so Mike Tyson was like, and so intimidating.
He was so fast, too.
Fast than the motherfucker, yeah. So that was his shit. Hold on. Go ahead.
It says, Stoner Boy Rob says, don't knock Foreman. He just started using a different defensive technique.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, he started using a different defensive technique that made him look like a fucking toddler.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm just saying, if it worked for him, it worked for him. But he looked like a toddler when he was using it. You know what? Go watch one of his fights from later on. Watch.
Let me see if I can mirror the screen. So Mike don't have to read those type of questions.
And Claude Rocher says, Pacquiao still got it. You can't knock him.
Who?
Pacquiao?
Oh, Pacquiao?
Pacquiao. Yo, Mike, we're going to read these shits ourselves, man.
Pacquiao, he doesn't hit hard, though. Pacquiao is still a lightweight fighter.
He's a little guy.
Yeah.
He can hit hard. I mean, he hit hard, but it's like who you comparing it to.
Yeah.
All that HDMI shit came up.
And I still believe sports is a young man's game. Once you get a certain age, you should be like, I'm done, have a good day.
Yeah, of course. Just like everything else in life. So, so how do you feel about, like, a man calling another man petty? I'll tell you how I feel about that shit.
Okay.
I feel like I can tell Mike you're petty, but if you call me petty, like, that's like, dude, that's like some weakness shit. It's like, why would you tell, like, I'm petty? I mean, I would like to hear what the listeners have to say about that. I feel like I can tell you he's petty, so he might not go for that. But then, like, I feel like after the age of 15, you shouldn't call another man petty.
I don't think there's an age difference. I feel like if the shoe fits, you know, if you're being petty, bro, and you know that you're being petty, and then somebody calls you out on being petty, then, bro, you're fucking petty. That's it. You can't get mad at somebody for calling you out on some shit that you're fucking doing. Especially,
they say you fucked. I would just say, yo, that's fucked up. No,
that you can say that if you want to, but if somebody uses the word petty, then that's what they use.
It's like you're not being fair with me.
Are you?
Is that what that means?
No.
What does petty mean?
I mean, petty just means that you're nitpicking. You know, you're nitpicking at shit.
At you.
Just to nitpick.
Okay. Fair. I mean, I just don't think that shit is some racist to say. So, I guess we'll move on from that shit, man.
Okay. Alrighty then. Alrighty.
What do you think the meaning of life is, Mo?
Bro,
I don't know.
I don't really know the meaning of life. You know, I mean, just live how you live. I don't have any.
That's dope.
Man. Yeah, I don't really have any real.
I could dig that.
Poetic.
It don't got to be poetic. It's like what you think the meaning of life is. I think that I think the meaning of life is to give life meaning.
Okay.
Right, it goes around in a circle, just like life. But
the circle of life.
Hey, Akuma Matata, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that what Akuma Matata means?
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
sounds good, right?
It do.
I would just roll off the tongue. Hey, so if you could change one thing in the world, what would it be?
Oh, that's easy. I would definitely change, not world hunger, it's homelessness.
Poverty.
I think that that's a big problem in this world. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even though, like, everybody comes from different paths to life. So you don't know what that person did to become homeless.
Right.
You know, you don't know whether it's, drugs or alcohol or, you know, it could be something negative, it could be something positive, or mm-hmm. not positive, but, you know, it could be something that was completely out of their control, you know, but I think everybody deserves to at least have shelter. If I had to pick out of starvation and homelessness, I would pick homelessness all day.
Word?
Yeah, I would pick homelessness.
Like, as something to change?
Yes, I would change homelessness before I change starvation.
I think that shit needs a little bit more thought, bro.
Nah.
Yo.
Mental health.
Yeah, that's what it is. Because, like, dude, if you could change world hunger, you rather give people shelter than food?
Yeah. Yeah. Yup.
Damn. Oh.
Absolutely.
I look at you different now.
Absolutely.
Where?
Yeah.
Shelter than food?
Shelter rather than food, bro.
Bro, it's... I don't know about
I would much rather much rather have people have.
So what they gonna do for food?
Yo, listen, to figure it out. But
if they can, you can figure that out.
I mean, okay. Look at it like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much is it average to rent a place without electricity, anything?
You talking about the world?
I'm just saying America. I'm just using this as an example.
Shit, depending on who you are, you can work that shit off.
Right, you could rent a place for like $700.
No, dude, you can rent a place for $200.
But $200. All right,
$100.
So, what's easier to get? Like food or shelter?
It depends, bro. But I would say no. Food is definitely. I think they're both easy to get. I think the majority, and this is a bold statement, but I think the majority of people that are homeless, they either want to be homeless, or they have a severe mental issue.
But you also got to think your mentality is the core of it.
That's what I just said, no?
Well, okay, I'm sorry about that.
I mean, if you have food, right? If you changed, you know, world hunger, and you know everybody can find a place to get something to eat,
right? Mm-hmm.
Then what's gonna motivate that person to get a job? You know what I mean? Like
themselves.
I mean, what? It's hard to like.
What motivates you to work?
I like money.
That's why you work, because the money.
Yeah. All right. So
it should like you should be motivated with purpose. I mean, I'm not telling you. Well, I shouldn't say you should be motivated, but I'm motivated by purpose, right?
Okay.
Like myself, I'm motivated by purpose. Like, yo, if I feel like I'm fulfilling and I'm helping and of service, right?
Uh-huh.
That's why I put on a uniform, just to be of service, right? The money's just like a bonus, because money's gonna come. We had this conversation before. I was like, yo, whatever you look at money at, it's going to come. Like, money is a tool. So you can't look at it like, all right, this is why I work. This is why I do anything. Because that's just going to come. And you're going to spend it, or you're going to be scared to spend it, or you're going to save it and die with that bitch.
I think that when it comes to working, everyone expects a check. To say that you're not, you do work because of another purpose. Like, yeah, there might be another purpose alongside with you getting paid. But at the end of the day, bro, everybody wants to get paid. Now, if you're an entrepreneur or something like that, then that's different. You know what I mean? But we all got bills to pay.
So why are you here? You're not getting paid. I'm not getting paid.
Right, but this isn't my job either. I like doing this.
Right. So when you do things you like, that's when money comes. So, like, you can or don't have to like what you do, but that's what makes you leave to seek other employment or to seek other opportunity.
Yeah, but that's... So, you want to do a job that you want to do, regardless. And then sometimes, you know, you're not going to get paid to do some of those jobs. Like, for instance, if you're an entrepreneur or you're just getting started, then, yeah, you know, you're not going to get paid for that, but you also have something else on the table. It's not like you're like just walking around with no job, just, you know, just working for yourself but not getting paid. You feel me? So
you're bugging.
No, I'm not.
Dude, like, so, all right, so, like, in life, right? Like, so my biggest goal in life is to change the world, right?
Okay.
Now, how much money I make doing that shit, it means nothing to me. I don't give a fuck about money at all, right? It's a tool. But if I'm looking at it like, okay, oh man, this costs this, I'm going to be tight, or I'm going to get this job because it pays more, you die of stress. You know what I mean? It's because, if this is like you could be bought, basically. Not saying you per se, but people that think... Like, okay, money is the ultimate and whatever. Nah, it's just something that you use to kind of get around, I think. But, I mean, you got a different perspective on that, and I respect that.
Nah, I think that I understand what you're saying, but in the same sense, bro, like, we all have to get paid to make money.
It's incentive. You get
incentivized. You have to pay your bills, bro.
But you can't pay for your time. Most jobs, right, most jobs that I would say that if you make under, you know, I would say like $80,000 or maybe even $90,000, anybody could do that shit. You just, it's this right place, right time, and you might have a little bit of studying that you did and people like you around.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. But, like, if you want to be rich or you want to be wealthy, you want to be anything above that, it takes a little bit more drive than that.
But you're also missing the other point. A job actually gives you purpose, actually gives you a reason to do things for other people.
Well, Mike, I think that's your opinion, right? Because I definitely said you work to be of service, right? And you have if your purpose is service and if your purpose is to do whatever, yeah, a job can offer that to you. But what he's saying is he works for money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's different.
So money pays for shelter and food. And I don't doubt that. But that's probably in some people's first or second purpose, you know, but I think the reason you go out to get that and to do that job is because you don't want to sit around the house doing nothing all day.
Well, I think that what we're all saying is the same thing. I just think that I'm not interpreting it the right way.
No, principle.
So here's the thing, is that
tell me the thing.
You want to work. When you work in life, you want to do good work, right? So you want to do something that you love, all right? Mm-hmm. So you want to do
something. Yo, Mike, you're crazy.
Yo,
bro.
Yo, Mike. Mike got excited just now.
Yeah,
boy.
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. Yeah. I got it.
You want to stand up and read the question?
No. It's just, you know.
It better be good.
People are just going, Elliot Herring has said it should be for more than just having money, and Claude is saying money ain't the motivation. Purpose in quality of life is. Yeah.
So let all right.
Thank you, Mike, for that breaking news.
Hold on. Let me go ahead and extend an olive branch. All right.
Yeah. Because
we all want to do good work in life. Mm-hmm. All right.
For sure.
So. In order to pay our bills and, you know, do the things that we want to do, we have to have a start somewhere. So you may take that job that you don't necessarily want, you know, to get the job that you want to have. So if you're working a job at McDonald's, right? Let's just say that you're working a job at McDonald's.
I can't see it.
Oh, you don't have to be able to see it. This is just for the scenario.
Okay, yeah.
So you're working at McDonald's. No, Thank you very much. You're working at Mcdonald's, right?
Never. Go ahead.
But why wouldn't you want to work at McDonald's?
I would never do it.
Why?
Because I would not enjoy it.
Right. Okay.
I don't do anything I don't want to do.
All right. So even if that was the job to put the roof over your head and
wouldn't be.
You wouldn't. Okay. So some people,
to say you.
Some
if you was working on McDonald's, yeah. Your hair too.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, Miles. So if I'm working at McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
I know that I don't want to work at McDonald's, but I know that I have to pay my bills too. So that's not the end game. I know that that's not my end game, but for right now, I need something that's going to put food on the table. I need something that's going to put shelter over my head. I know that I don't want to do this the rest of my life.
Right.
You know? So, we all know that we need money to, you know, we need money to go out and do things and, you know, we don't necessarily need it to survive, but we need it to...
To nothing.
You do need money to...
You don't need money, bro. Like, as I'm saying, like, you need, like, you can bargain and barter everything till the death. And, like, money is, like I said, that just pays for your time. But everything else, like, you don't need, like, for quality of life, you don't need money. Have you ever been to like South America or like the Caribbean?
No, I don't. Like, I don't have that type of money to do that.
It's not even. It don't cost a lot of money to do that.
But it does cost money, right?
It don't. You can go for free.
You've gone for free?
I'll send you for free. Actually,
did you go for free?
I don't know. I can't remember. I've been no. Actually, I've been places for free, but I've been there a lot. But you like so? I went to Haiti 3 years ago, right? And that's where my family's from. So in Haiti, and I went on like a with Google on like a trip to just try to help the youth understand business. And the quality of life was so much better, and that's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Like that, the happiness that you saw is not like us, like because we live in a capitalist society, which we love, or at least I love. But it's a little different because they're just thinking about what girl are you gonna go see, who's cooking the best food. It's the way wild different frame of mind. So. And they don't have money like that. It's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere.
Well, I
they don't even have the opportunity to work at it.
But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of times, like, you'll say things like, you don't need money to survive. And but, like, bro, I challenge you to go without using money for a fucking week. You know, it's not going to happen, bro. It's not.
I do this shit all the time.
Being around things that you paid for, right?
What are you talking about,
bro? I'm asking you. I'm not.
Nah, like the most of the time, like us, most of the things in this studio is bartering. Why do you think like it takes so long for me? Like I get something new. It's like, oh shit, I just traded this.
Bro, why do you think we spend money every day, bro? We spend money every day.
No, I'm not saying. Like I said, it's a tool.
Yeah, you don't have the tool, but you need it to basically go and get the things that you want to get.
So, all right. So, you never went camping, right?
I don't like to talk about camping. All
right. Just say we don't do that. No, friend. But, look. If you go camping, right? Yeah, you buy your stuff to go in the site and everything, right? But yeah. You don't spend any money there. And then you come out so super refreshed. And that's what I'm trying to tell you.
You spend money to initially get there.
To initially get there, you might spend, you spend a limited amount, right? And then
still spend money.
Okay. I'm not saying that you don't use money to do things you want to do.
I'm
telling you, you don't need money to be to get where you want to go. Like, that's not the principal cause of everything in life. Like, that's not why you should live your life.
That's what I'm saying. No. Okay. I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that.
And there's some people on here saying, well, you really don't need money because you can barter for things you actually truly need.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
That's what I just said. I said every single thing in here is barter. Yeah, like, we down to one camera, right? How many cameras when you came in? We had six of them motherfuckers, right? That's what I'm saying. So it's like, I enjoy that. So.
You can definitely barter. It's just like the reason why I work is because, you know, I got some bills to pay, man. And I'm not trying to.
Got bills.
I can't barter with my landlord, bro.
Nah, you can't. You're bugging.
I can't barter. Nah, I'm not going to be. Can. This thing, wait, what was the name of that
you
movie?
She was
whatever.
Female.
Whoa, Mike, you can't say things like that,
married.
Mike. Come on, Mike.
She's married. If she's watching this, I'm sorry. I did not say that.
Yeah, that was Michael.
That was Mike. Yeah.
Mikey B. So, yeah, Mike is wild. So, nah, you can't barter. Like, you can barter everything. Like, it's like.
It's not like a porn. Like, is there any other way that I can pay my rent?
Wow.
Oh, so,
get your minds out of the gutter.
You're the one that started it.
I'm reading this book right now, right? It's just called Cry Like a Man. And it's crazy. Like, the life that this dude had, just growing up in Detroit, and like, my buddy told me to read it like 2 years ago, and like I never paid attention to it, but like I'm reading now, and it's like to find out like when this kid's brother died, and then his mom was getting mad at him for coming in late, and you know, he didn't realize her trauma from his brother dying, and he's taking it like she's taking advantage of him, like because she needs to get over it, and then like his best friend gets shot, and you know, like the most promising girl in his school gets shot, and it got to a point when he became an adult, and he would try to have conversations with his wife, and because he would let things fester, his tone just made her so scared of him. And he never knew that, like, his tone was different, or it was a way, until, like, they went to, like, this intense therapy session.
Yeah.
And she talked about how she felt like she was in a cage. So, like, the psychologist put her in a cage, and he was like, who is that? Like, because this is how she feels, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, ever since then, like, his whole life purpose changed to basically, you know, help young boys, like, learn how to, like, get rid of that toxicity. So where it's like, okay, you gain stuff from crying. Because, like, as men, especially black men, like, it's very hard to catch, you know, one of us crying in public. Rather, and this, you know what this dude is? Yeah. Remember when the kid couldn't break the board?
Mm-hmm.
I think his name is Charles Wilson or something like that. Like, the kid couldn't break the board, and it was like, he was, like, teaching him taekwondo, and then the kid was like, he just couldn't get through it. And then he just, like, started crying, and, like, he embraced him. He was like, yo, it's okay. Then dude broke the board. And he was like, yeah, like, not only is it water, it's, like, it's actually a relief. And then when you hold so much tears in, like, that's the type of stuff that, like, you'll get, like, you know, true health problems because of that. It's definitely an interesting book.
So, yeah, if Miles starts crying in public, watch out, because he's about to hurt you.
Nah, that's not true, man. And it's so funny that you be saying shit like that, because I know, I think I'm one of the easiest people to get along with.
Yeah.
No, I think the person that probably has the hardest time with me is my wife. But everyone else, it's like, just because, like, I wake her up with an idea. Yeah, she'll get mad. But yeah, man. So yeah.
What's up?
Mike's dying to say something. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, what you got, Mike?
Well, kind of follow along that same, you know, kind of premise. If you can only have five things at all times, what would you barter to get the five things you truly wanted?
Hold on. What premise is this? This is the premise before the last topic I just said?
Oh, he's bringing it back, yeah.
Oh, you're bringing it back. Okay, now I was confused. So say it again.
So if you had, like...
You want to sit down and say it?
No. If you had, right, you can only have five things continuously throughout your whole life, and what would you barter to get the five things you truly wanted?
Yeah, that's a hard question. That's a hard question, bro. So
Mike, I would have immortality, chicken, money.
No.
Like, five things? Like, what are you saying?
It's stuff that you truly wanted that you can have. Immortality, you really can't have.
What are you talking about?
Technically, if you want.
Yeah. So, I like, what would you have? I would have...
Teleportation.
Yeah.
I want to be able to fly. Yeah.
Come on, man. That wasn't a well thought out question.
The things that you need in our...
The month of August.
Everybody's necessities are going to be different.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I would have...
Yeah, they would be different, though.
All right, Mike, let me ask the question
to you.
Like, yeah, like...
You answer the question.
No, just like a regular type of question that wouldn't have everybody guessing. If you found a lamp, right, and you rubbed it, and a genie came out and gave you three wishes, what would your wishes be?
More wishes.
Yeah.
You can't ask for more wishes.
I would ask for immortality. I would. I would be a vampire. I would want to be a fucking...
I would want to be
an Interview with the Vampire. Like, that's also one of the greatest books you could ever read.
Now, you would have to be real specific. Now, would it be, you know, the actor who played that?
I'm not going
to...
You want to be Tom Cruise?
Mike, I would never want to be another man, son.
That's what you said. You said you would want to be the guy from the Interview with the Vampire.
I would say, no, just kind of like the storyline. And if I said that was a mistake.
Well,
Well, because genies want, you know, say, hey, they do what you say. They never actually do what you mean.
Mike, you know genies are fake.
No.
No? Oh, all right.
There's a show called I Dream a Genie.
Okay. There's a show. Right? Somebody wrote that. Okay. So, Mike.
Listen, if you guys want to see more of Mike, too, please hit the number one if you don't want to see him hit number two. But I know you guys are all going to start hitting your
because
one.
Because we got 10 minutes left. And just super chat, Mike going to come up and he's going to ask the questions that he sees the most fit to ask. And we'll answer them. So, I'll pull up. Should I pull up a stool? Mike, where you want to stand? Or you can sit in my seat. No. You good? You just want to ask it from the sidelines? Okay, we got a question. Okay, one.
She wants to see more of them. She wants to see more of Mike.
Go ahead. So, Mike, ask the question.
Well, just your one, just your girlfriend.
You want me to ask the questions?
Yeah.
To you? So, you sit here. You take my job. I'll take your job.
Take your job?
Go ahead.
I can't take your job.
Go.
Big Mike. Big Mike. What's good, Mike?
Well, there's a lot of things good, you know?
All right.
It depends on your perspective.
All right. All right. So what's going on? What's going on in Mike's world?
There's actually a lot of things going on behind the scenes, you know? I don't know if you know, but, you know, I just got my bachelor's in hotel and restaurant management.
It's all Kevin, right? Okay. Okay. There we go.
So, and I graduated cum laude, so that, I thought that, you know, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not the top, you know, it's not, but it's among the top three, so, you know, I kind of like that.
Yeah?
I just got actually, and I wanted to tell you guys tonight, because I just found out that I got accepted to go on to my bachelor's. I'm going to get a bachelor's in human resources. Hell, I've been doing it all my life. Might as well get a degree in it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just have that piece of paper so I can, do
you can
actually.
So, Mike, Claude Roche has a question for you, and it's do you believe in aliens? I got the question. I'm reading it.
Do I believe in what?
Aliens.
I believe there is a such thing as aliens, yes.
Okay.
I honestly believe that there's some species or different kind out there that either we don't know how to interact with yet,
mm-hmm.
or we haven't seen yet, or we're not intelligent enough for them to reach out to us.
That is a good one. So we're too dumb.
I mean, what do you think?
I think that there is life outside of Earth. So, yes, I believe that there are what we call aliens because we can't just be the only ones.
Right.
Now, do you think there are more? Do you think they look like us? Or do you think they're more like rocks that, you know, are already here on Earth and we just don't know how to talk to them?
No, I think that I don't know what they look like.
Right. Neither do I.
I have no idea. I couldn't even guess what they look like because they say that they might be, you know, green with big eyes and a big dome head. Like, I don't know what they look like. They can look like you and me for all we know. You know.
I agree. Justin wants to know, do you still have the Stranger Danger sticker in your home?
I actually never had the Stranger Danger sticker. I found it on the internet.
Nope, he never had it. Never had it.
He found it on the internet. And he wants, that could be true, but that wasn't the question. He wants to know if you still have it in your phone.
He never had it in his phone.
No, it was on a Google page, and I looked up.
He looked on the internet.
I don't have it anymore, no.
Okay. Then he asks, what do you do when you interact with strangers?
Well, the funny part is, after we actually had that segment, a friend of mine decided, to go over to his friend's house and, we hanged out for there. It was on Saturday night. And we were just about leaving his house when we heard a party going on a block over. And my roommate, Tony Rogers, decided.
That's your roommate?
His name is Tony Rogers.
Yeah, I know Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Comedian.
Yeah, it's a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah. He decided, he goes, you know what? That party sounds awesome. You know, we got to walk over there and, you know, see if we can, you know, crash it, like wedding crashers. I'm like, are you serious? He goes, yeah, absolutely.
He's about 6'8".
Yeah.
Nobody's going to know him.
So we walked over and it was wonky because these girls were in this car leaving the party, going to get more beer. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, yeah, just go in and tell them I said you can go in, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound credible at all.
So, Mike, you have a fan. Brooke says to me that Stranger Danger is real, so I should trust you with your original theory from the previous show.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No, she's right, I guess.
Yeah.
She's agreeing with you.
So, anyways, we're walking up, going into that party, and there's people out, and we walk inside, right? And the guys are like, "Hey, what's going on? Who are you?" Tony goes, "Oh, I'm Tony Rogers. I'm a pretty famous comedian. Maybe you've heard of me. And this is my friend Mike. He's a retired veteran. And we just heard the party, and we wanted to figure out, you know, see how you guys were having so much fun, right?" And they were like, "Oh yeah, here." And they handed Tony a blunt, and he took a puff off it, and they were like giving us, you know, cello shots, and they're like, "Yeah, we invited us into the party." So I'm like, "Okay." So, you know, so come to find out, right? It's a high school graduation. So I'm sitting here like, there is all the parents were there, right? You know, drinking these jello shots and having a grand old time. And I'm sitting here and it's a high school graduation that we crashed. So I'm like, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm talking to this one guy, and he's a former infantry man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? His son is going into the Marines, and he was, asking me, what should I expect? And I was like, I haven't been in basic in over 20 years, so mm-hmm. It probably changed. But, you know, I can tell you what happened when I was there, you know. And then I walk around the back of that house, and there's this huge slide, a blow-up slide, just like two stories.
Did you jump on it?
No, but they were all the.
But you wanted to.
I wanted to. You know why? All the teenagers were flying down it into this pool of jello.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, like, come on, it sounds kind of cool, you know? But it was like 9 o'clock at night, so I'm like, no, it was a little cold out. That, but you know, that this happened like 2 weekends ago, mm-hmm. So it wasn't as hot as today, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, but they were having a great old time, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, and I couldn't understand why they just accepted all of us, and they didn't know us from Adam.
Mm. Yeah. All right, Mike, let me choose the subject. I'm going to ask a controversial question right now.
Mm.
One that's going to have both you and Mo, you know, at odds.
Oh, I like that.
At odds. Yeah. Just put the headphones on. Just look. You don't have to lean up. Just put one headphone over your head. I'm right here. So, what's your best meal you can cook that no matter what Mo cooks, yours is better? Yours would be better. So the question was, what's the best meal Mike can make that Mo would have to be impressed with? And the same question for you.
Yeah, that sounds like a Brookie Cookie question, bro.
No, that was my question.
Oh, it's yours? Yeah. That sounds like had a conversation about this.
Oh, yeah?
Sorry. Yeah. She said, it's funny. She said, I have a big ego about cooking, too.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you're a chef.
Yeah. And I've been tinkering with this one recipe for a long time now. It's a turkey chili. Mm. And it has this kind of Southwest vibe to it.
Mm.
So I've been tinkering with this for probably about 10 years now.
10 years?
Yeah.
God damn, 10 years?
Yeah, so I kind of get the Southwest feel to it where, you know, I put in the turkey beef, and I put in, what I do is I get corn on the cob, and I actually grill it on the open burner and kind of get that flame boiled,
mm-hmm.
on the kind of like toast the corn,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we get the chicken stock, and we do the tomato paste, we put the chili powder, the cumin, I put fresh garlic in, and then crushed red pepper, I do fresh tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
right, and I do the same thing, I do a little bit of fire roasting, I burn the peel and kind of roast the tomato itself, mm-hmm. and then cut it up and put it in there. And usually I do about two of those tomatoes and put it in there, and then my secret weapon, one of them anyways, is I crush up tortilla chips.
Mm-hmm.
I crush them up into really, you know, like
really fine,
very fine. I crush them up in my hand, and I actually put them in the sauce,
mm-hmm.
with some green, some scallions,
mm-hmm.
and I just let that simmer for like a half hour or to an hour and so, and when it comes out, you're sitting there and you get that Southwest kind of feel. You get that smoky.
Like Elliot said, what is turkey beef?
Hmm? Turkey beef?
Yeah.
Well, it's really ground turkey.
Ground turkey.
Yeah, and turkey, Mo's about to have a real egotistical answer, because to him that feels like a high school recipe. He's going to tell you about holy cow now, what the turkey says.
No, I'm not.
All right.
So what would be yours?
I actually don't have one.
Oh.
I actually don't have one, because, like, I literally, when I get in the kitchen, I don't go based off of recipe. That's how I learned. I would know the base of something. So let's say that I put something like salmon in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just based off of seasonings that I have, because I have cabinets of seasonings, I'll go in a cabinet and whatever I'm feeling that day, like, that's what I'm going to put in there. So, for instance, like, I'm going to give you what I'll normally put on, like, salmon, right? So I'll get salmon, I'll use a little bit of olive oil on the bottom of the pan, right? Just so that it's not sliding all over the place. And then I'll put lemon and lime juice over it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a little bit of lemon pepper, because I don't want to put a lot on there. Put a little bit of lemon pepper and then regular pepper over it. And then sometimes, depending on how I feel that day, I may put garlic over it. But I also have a lime seasoning that I will sometimes put over it. So you would think that that's a lot of lemon and lime, because I'm putting lime juice on the bottom too. But the heat rises. So I feel like whenever you put something like salmon in, the heat is gonna rise, and it's gonna cook through the bottom of that salmon. And so even though you're not putting that lemon and lime juice on it, you're putting it around it, and you have the lemon pepper and the lime seasoning that's going to, it adds to that flavor. So something like that, it's like, I don't have necessarily a recipe for a lot of things. I do everything based off of sight and off of how I think it might taste. And I've fucked some shit up before. I've made some things that were not so good. But for the most part, I'm pretty spot on.
I would actually add a little bit of orange peel to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll elevate that citrusy taste to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
where do you put the orange peel at, though? Do you put it like on the salmon, or do mm-hmm. you put it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you don't eat the orange peel,
huh?
You don't eat the orange peel. You just
no. There's you actually take a microplane and you take it off the and you can eat the orange peel with the.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So
I never thought about that.
And also, did you realize that you really don't? There's a salmon is one of the few fishes that you can actually cook in citrus acid. You don't have to have heat to cook it.
Oh.
So how
would you cook it if you didn't have heat?
No, it cooks in its citrus acid.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So you just put citrus acid over it, and you send it in the fridge for an hour or so, and poof, it's done.
Oh, okay. So Miles, what about you?
Rice. I cook the hell out of some rice. Patient. I could hook a steak up too, but basic, very basic steak.
Okay.
You know.
Do you marinate it, or do you just?
Nah, I'll put my wife actually. She showed me about the what's it called, Worcestershire sauce.
Oh yeah, I can't say it either. I can't never say it neither.
Yeah, so that's good. But hey guys, so before we close it out, we want to thank Mike. But if you have any final questions right now. For anyone in the on the show, let us know, because before we have our dance off. So, any final questions, anyone? And especially if you want to see more Mike, he's here.
More Mike.
So, any final questions before we cut it off? And that's it. Oh, I think Brooke just had a question. And no, she said RNZ. She said Mo, pay attention, Tigger. Now, plus she didn't say that. I said that. So, let me just display my shirt. Of course, this is my
love
man.
It. Love it.
Unapologetically Black. We all know who this is. Well, some of you don't know who it is, but this is the top economist in my view. And I'm drawing a blank on his name. But I'm not. Nah. I'm definitely not. But look it up. But before we finish the show off, no, this is the time to like, love, and subscribe. See ya every Wednesday. And we have a very special guest next week of the fellas from Fifth Place Albany. They'll be stopping through next week. And that's why we have the kind of the camera set up this way.
Thanks for listening. Find us on social media at Play Myself Show. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, stay yourself.